I want you to look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, you that are watching all over the world. 2 Timothy, right past 1 Timothy. Chapter 1, Paul writing to his wonderful protege, Timothy, and in verse 6 he says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." That's why we believe in laying hands on people today. You know, that's still going on today. A lot of people don't normally do that too much, but we believe in that. Pray for people, minister to people. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." I just wish the church world would read that. But I would prefer it if they believed it. And I'd really get excited if they received it. Because you can believe something and not receive something. St. John 1 verse 12 says, "But as many as received him." This is as many as believed him. You know how many people believe in Jesus? They believe all the time, but do they receive him? No. You can ask people all over New Orleans today, do you believe in Jesus? Yeah. Are you saved? No. See, when you receive him, that's when these things begin to take place. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So notice power, love, and sound mind go together. Then he said in verse 8, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." Then he puts himself in there, "nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us." Notice this is all past tense. "Called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." So people ask me all the time, "Why are you happy?" Well, I'm not in crisis. I'm in Christ. Amen. You can deal with your crisis. I'm going to deal with Christ. Amen. I'm going to keep reading here. "But it's now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death." So I'm not even concerned about death. "And brought life and immortality to light through the gospel," or the good news, "whereunto I'm appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles." Now he's covered it all right there. "For the cause which I also suffer, permit these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed." Now here's where I want to get to. "For I know whom I have believed," past tense, "and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." So notice in that verse, there's belief, persuasion, and commitment. Belief, persuasion, and commitment. Now, that should make up a believing person or a believing man. Now, go with me to John chapter 3, verse 16, and that's the most famous verse, I guess, in the Bible. "For God so loved the world." Notice what God did. He loved the world. John 3, 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave." When you're a lover, you're a giver. If you love something, you give to it. You protect it. You commit to it. You're persuaded by it. "For God so loved the world that he gave," and he tells you what he gave, "his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth," you ought to underline that word "believeth," "should not perish," didn't say would not, said should not, "but have everlasting" or "eternal life." Now, in that passage of 2 Timothy and the passage here of John 3, 16, it has a lot of love, commitment, persuasion, and all that we do. But it's all wrapped up in this word "believeth." So what is a believing man? That's the title of my message. What is a believing man? And I want to do a little teaching this morning. A believing man, number one, is a man or a person of large compassion. See, when you're a believer, you're a person of compassion and a person of passion. I like that. See, when you're a person of compassion, because you're a believing person, you bring relief to people. You ought to write that down. Let me say it again. A believing man is a man of large compassion. Out of that compassion comes passion to bring relief. When the hurricanes hit New Orleans, people said, "Why don't you stay in that suite? It's got air conditioning." No, we came down here. I mean, I was the first corporate aircraft, I believe, to land here in the New Orleans area. Because that was my people. Jesus left the 99 to go get the one. I know how to abound. But I hadn't forgot how to abase. Why? Because I'm a believing man, and a man of compassion is a man of passion, and he brings relief. And all we had on our minds was relief, even though we were sweating like dogs, 97% temperature and 100% humidity. Think about that. So number one, a believing man, I want to deal with that, believeth, is a man of large compassion. And when you understand that, then you'll understand the next statement. The believing man is a man of large possessions, because you can't bring relief without possession. They are summed up in the fullness of him. So number one, that believing man is a man of large compassion. He brings relief because he's a person of passion. Number two, the believing man is a man of large possession. Why? Because you can't bring relief unless you got possession. They are summed up in the fullness of him. So people get mad at me because I'm blessed. You know why I'm blessed? Because I'm a believing man. And I am persuaded that God is able to keep what I commit to him. You see what I'm saying? Now, see, what you commit, you must love. So I'm a man of passion. I'm a man of compassion. Kathy said, if you tell Jesse something, he'll try to fix it. Well, no, I don't try to fix it. I fix it. Trying costs a lot of money and it don't work. We need to get things to work. How many of y'all want things to work? Now, you see, I realize that I'm going to outlast the devil, so I'm not defeated by time. I made up my mind when I sow seed, if I don't see immediate results, because I'm a man that loveth God and believeth in God, I am going to get back what God said I could have. No matter what you say or no matter what anyone else says. You see what I'm saying? See, I don't bleed easy. Why? Because the Lord done bled for me. Oh, that's good. I don't bleed easy. I made up my mind. I've told ministers, man, they've been having struggle. I said, you're going to outlast the devil. So that's what a believing person is. Number one, he is a man or a person of large compassion. And when you have large compassion, you are a passionate person. You bring relief. Do you see that? And then number two, the believing man is a man of large possessions. They are summed up in the fullness of him. Without large possessions, you can't bring large relief. See, you got to have something to do something. Notice Jesus, God couldn't get into the earth unless he gave something. He gave his only begotten son, but he received something. He gave Christ and received Christians. It's okay to be teaching a little bit this morning. This is not even a sermon. I mean, this is just things I wrote down and things I think about in my devotion with the Lord. So I made up my mind I would be a believing person. I've had many opportunities to not believe, and they've come from the church. You can't believe that. Who do you think you are? How many times, Prophet Ron Graham, you can't get out the project. You can't do that. But yet you could. You find very few people in your lifetime will tell you what you can do. They always tell you what you can't do. I have a lot of black people that love me. Now, I don't know they're black unless they tell me. I don't know they're Latino unless they tell me. I don't know they're white unless I don't even deal with that. But it's amazing to me how many people, some of my greatest black friends, get persecution because they hang with me. What you hang with that white man for? And they said, Jesse ain't white. Jesse's any color you can be. Whatever he touch, he turns that color. See, if I touch money, I turn green. Glory to God. You see my point? I'm like a lizard, son. I can change colors. But I don't deal with color, but I do deal. I mean, in fact, you need to lose your color, but never lose your culture. You see, I tell that culture is the most important thing in the world. Color ain't nothing. Because you can change your color real quick if somebody make you afraid. You ever get scared? Somebody ever scared you? Man, black man turn white. White man turn red. I mean, you know, you can change that easy. Ain't no problem with it. But you see, you never lose who you are. See, so a believing person must be a person of large possessions. Why? So they can bring relief because of their compassion and their passion. Now, that's what Paul is telling Timothy. Don't let nobody despise your youth in 1 Timothy. He also says that, listen, man, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. He's given you a spirit of faith. It has nothing to do with how old you are or how young you are. It has to do with your spirit of faith. And a spirit of faith will speak because a spirit of faith is a believer. So if you understand that a believing man is a man of large compassion, because he brings passion, he brings relief, and you believe that the believing man is a man of large possession, there's summed up in the fullness of him. Then number three, a believing man is a man of large powers. Because you see, out of possession will come power. A believing person or a believing man is a man of large powers. He has power from God and power with God. See, I'm not afraid to be with God. And I'm not afraid to be away from God. I have power with God. I have power from God. It doesn't make any difference to me. Why? Because a believing man is a man of large powers. That's why Jesus said, if you believe, all things are possible. Didn't say something. Will the church world finally wake up and listen to that? All things are possible, not some things. Yeah, but they're so unbelievable. But that's why they don't work for you. If you get rid of that un, you'll get to believable real quick. There's only two letters messing up your brain. You go from believable to unbelievable. Two little letters. Get rid of the unbelievable. Get rid of the C-O-M on a compromise and it'll become a promise. Do you see what I'm saying? And a promise is a prophecy, really. And prophecy is history wrote in advance. Lord Jesus. So if you want to know what's going to happen tomorrow, prophesy today. But you can't prophesy. You know why a lot of people don't move in his gifts of the Spirit? It's not because God's not telling them. Is they afraid? Afraid of what? They might miss it. Well, guess what? Your faith work, you will miss it. Then you got the supposed it don't work syndrome. Well, you know, I tried that. I didn't try to marry Kathy. She don't try to shop. I've never seen that woman struggling on shopping. I just can't hardly shop today. No, Jesus, there's something come upon her. She cast the shopping devil out of a woman the other day. Gathered in, she said, come out, friend. I said, friend? No, that's a joke, people. You probably heard it before. She told y'all to laugh because I know she steals all my stuff. But anyway. A believing man is a man of large powers. That day I was trying to sleep. She said, that's what the Lord telling you. Then I could hear something. And she had a notebook in the bed. She's just writing it down. I said, oh, she's preaching Sunday. No, I'm just joking. Praise the Lord. I give her a hard time. No, I get a lot of things from Kathy. I really do. A believing man is a man of large powers. He has power from God and power with God. Now write those things down. You see, we have now our intercontinental jet. It is beautiful. But it don't go nowhere until Dave or Ted or Ray put the power to it. That's right. They put the power to it. Now, they let me know. They send me a little signal. Ding, ding. Fasten your seatbelt. We're going to burn rubber in a few seconds. If you want to kind of paraphrase it. And they got their engine, and they take their hand on those levers, and they stick their hand like this, like to push that, like this here. They push it like this. Then the co-pilot or cap will put his hand under it. And they start smashing down, pushing down. And you hear, and sometimes we're on some little short runways, and they got both feet on the brakes. And the plane doing that. And I said, Jesus, and then my head slams back. And then I forget that real quick because I look at that, because them red lights says, there ain't no more runway. I want to pull that nose up. And when I see that nose start lifting, then I know I'm airbound, see? All of a sudden you hear, boom, and then boom, something hits, and that's the, your wheels going in, everything closes, and all of a sudden you start. Now, sometimes I don't know if they're not thinking, the plane will do this. I see them jerk it back. There could be all kinds of wind things hitting them. See, there's a lot of things in life that try to stop your belief, but you got the power to get up. Oh, you hearing what I'm saying? You got that power. And see, all you got to do is put full thrusters to it, and it's going to come. It's called a law of thrust and lift. And when it happens, it's going to happen. And it ain't going to be quiet. It's going to be noisy. I don't forget, years ago, I was in Canada. I was preaching, and I said, do y'all have a jogging track around here, the hotel? They said, what if you walk about two blocks? And we were very close to the airport. I said, well, that would put me in the airport. She said, there is a jogging field. Oh, by the airport. I said, really? Yeah, so I walked out there. Now, it was 11:30 at night, and it was still daylight. Because, see, the sun don't go down when you get way up north. So I went out there, and I thought, well, because everybody was just eating like it was 5 o'clock in the afternoon, you know? So I said, well, I'm gonna just run around this field, you know, a regular 440 field, you know, just a regular, you know, like you got in high school. So I took off. But what I forgot was I seen all these jets coming, and they would turn around and take off. Well, there was about three of them that didn't bother me. I was way on the other side of the field. But then there was a big 747 come out there. Boy, and I like a 747 because, man, they just the way they look, you know. I mean, they're engineered correct. They just look wonderful, you know. I think they're prettier than the 777 myself. That 747, oh, Jesus. I mean, it's got that nose. It's amazing aircraft. Make a long story short, I'm running. And I see him turn that 747. Now, I'm at least 200 yards, maybe more, maybe 300 yards. Maybe more than that from the where they turn. I said, well, that don't make no difference. All of a sudden, I heard, and I know what's happening. They're putting the throttle up. They're going to take off. So I done passed the corner, and I'm running. I'm almost on the other side of the field. All of a sudden, I got the power of thrust and lift. I mean, boom, it throwed me in the air. Buddy, when they throw them 747 engines, I was a good, probably then 300, maybe 400 yards. But that, the air, the exhaust that came out the back of them engines put me on my face, picked me up, whoa, wham, I just hit the thing. I thought, Lord, and the grass, whoa. I will never ever run again around an airport. That made me a believing man. I couldn't get over that. How could that knock me down so far away? Power. The believing man is a man of large powers. Now, number four, or a believing man has large opportunities. He has and makes miracles. Let me say it again. You're writing it down. A believing person has large opportunities. Go with me to the book of Galatians real quick. Let me show you something. Galatians, watch this. If you don't think God will give you wonderful opportunities, in Galatians chapter 6, says in verse 6, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Verse 9, let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. See, a believing man has large opportunities. He has and makes miracles take place. There's opportunities. Now write this little statement down. Write this little statement down. I may preach on this a couple of years from now. I don't know. Dawn. God gave it to me the other day. Dawn never comes twice to awaken a man. See, God gives you opportunity. You better seize your opportunity. Dawn never comes twice to awaken a man. Dawn comes, brother, and you better get up if that's your time to get up. It never comes twice to awaken an individual. Why? Because a believing man has large opportunities. I'm constantly looking for opportunities. Not for me to be blessed so I can be a blessing, but because I am blessed, because I do look, God blesses me. Do you see that? So a believing man has large opportunities. He has and makes miracles. I love making miracles for people. It's the most wonderful thing in the world. And it can be big miracles or little miracles. It all depends on where you are. Sometimes buying a person's dinner is a miracle. Yeah. Do you understand what I'm saying? And it's wonderful. And then sometimes it might be something different. The amount or the magnitude of it is not, it just, everything can be large if you'll understand it. So number one, a believing man is a man of large compassion. He has passion. He brings relief. A believing man is a man of large possessions, because without possessions, you can't bring relief. They're summed up in the fullness of him. Number three, a believing man is a man of large powers. He has power from God and power with God. Number four, a believing man has large opportunities. He has and makes miracles. I have to believe for a miracle every day, Ron. To run this ministry, I've got to believe for a miracle every day. You got to understand, people have no concept of the amount of finance it takes to operate this ministry. Every time I see somebody as a head of a department, they're looking for money. They're looking for money. We just got our intercontinental jet. We got to put up a temporary hangar because you don't just build a permanent hangar like quick. The temporary hangar and the fuel farm, what are we looking at, David? $350,000, somewhere around that, and plus the $244,000 you spent on the plane. I mean, right there, that's over $500,000. Boom, that's all over and above what it takes to operate. Now, how do you do that? I look for opportunities to be a blessing. Daystar wrote me the other day and wanted to have a blessing. They said they very seldom ever ask their programmers to give because we pay them, you understand, lots of money to be on that network. But Joni and Marcus Lamb, wonderful people. They had a need. To me, it wasn't a need. To me, it was an opportunity so that I could get involved with that, so that the television ministry of Daystar, as well as ours, would even go further and higher and faster that other people might be touched. So when I write to you and ask you to be a partner to this ministry, I'm not asking you you give to a need. I'm giving you an opportunity to become a believing person. Do you understand what I'm saying? And you that are all over the world, we ask you to be an opportunity. To me, it's an opportunity. It's not, well, my God, if I don't hear from you today, I'm not going to make it, man. We're going down. We messed up. No. We're not going to do that. No. Why? Because we're believing people. Unbelieving people wouldn't go down, bust. And you say, but I've heard some people believe, and they went down. Did they really believe? Or did they really receive? See, not only do we believe, we receive. So a believing person has large opportunities. He has and makes miracles. And then the other day I got another letter. I mean, people always write me about things, and I said, well, here's another opportunity. But I also know when I'm being taken or when I'm being conned. I was born at night, but not last night. You understand what I'm trying to say? You can tell with that. I'm believing God for a jacket just like that. Well, go buy one. Do you see my point? You got to watch people. You see what I'm saying? So when you understand that, then you flow in that anointing. Number five, a believing man is a man of large liberalities. He can't hardly keep anything to himself. A believing person, a man, when I mean man, I'm talking about mankind, is a person of large liberalities. No one has ever been reduced to poverty by giving. You see what I'm saying? That's a person of large liberalities. I like a lot of things. I know I should have some things that I don't have because God told somebody to give it to me and they wouldn't do it. Now that, most people would never say that. It's not that I can go buy it. That's not the issue. Sometimes I went to purchase something. The Lord said, you are messing me up. Why? He said, you're not supposed to buy it. I've got to get somebody to sow it into you so I can bless them. Now when people say that, I'm going to get an ugly letter on that, but that's okay. It's going to hit the trash can. Because you see, you're not understanding ownership. You don't understand who you are. Now, there are some people who will take that statement and get slapped crazy. Won't buy nothing. How many times you went to dinner with people and they never offered to buy anything or pay anything? Don't lift your hand up. You don't mind buying the meal, but after a while, you know, excuse me. Does that make any sense? Does that make any, just waiting for you. I had a preacher tell me one time. He said, "Brother Jesse, when you go out to eat dinner, leave your wallet home." Then he told me, I looked at that fool, and I looked at him. I said, you know, you got a lot of financial trouble. I can tell why, you stingy rat. Well, you think we ought to give somebody a tip? You'd be surprised how many people are like that. That's a terrible thing. That's not the nature of God. God don't tip you. God blesses you. I'll give you an example. Me and Leroy Thompson, he won't mind me saying that. We went to Zia's. This must have been 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago. We got in there kind of late. Esplanade Mall. So we went in there, and there was some kind of political thing going on at the time. I can't remember now what it was. Make a long story short, I said, Leroy. He said, well, I said, man, there's something going on in New Orleans here. I don't know if it was the mayor's race. I can't remember what it was, 2 or 3, maybe 4 years ago. I can't remember. Anyway, make a long story short, he said, man, maybe we can get a paper on it. Yeah. So there was this waiter come up to us, and he says, we said, excuse me, do you have a paper? No. I said, sometime, you know, this is 8 o'clock at night, you know, this is the Sunday edition and all that kind of stuff. I believe it was Sunday or Monday or something like that. I can't remember. Anyway, make a long story short, it would have been old. Somebody would have already read it. You know what I'm talking about? Just stuck in the back. No. So all of a sudden, this girl comes up who brings us our appetizers. She said, y'all need a newspaper? We said, well, yeah, but the guy said, you know, now I don't know this girl. She don't know us. said y'all don't have any. She says, well, no, there's none in the mall, but there's, you know, the McDonald's has one. There's a McDonald's by the Esplanade Mall. She said, you know, it's real slow. I'll just go get you one. We said, no, we won't have you do that. She said, no, it's real slow. She said, in fact, I've got your orders in and everything. Here's your appetite. She said, by the time I get back, and I'll get you a newspaper. I thought that was so kind. So anyway, boom, in her car she went. She drove over to McDonald's, which, you know where it's at. Went, get the newspaper there. That little thing, came back and brought it to us. Oh, Jesus. Blessing time come to this mama. Now that paper cost 50 cents, whatever paper costs. I don't know, $50, whatever it is, something like that. We looked at her. We said, you know, you've been so kind to us. Well, she said, why not? She said, I didn't have nothing. That's fine. She said, that way you can read that article that you needed to read. So I looked at Leroy. I said, doctor, time to be a blessing. Come on, baby, let's get some money here. When we stopped, finished blessing that girl, she done paid her rent, paid everything. That was the best newspaper she ever got in her life. She bust out crying. You know, we could have given her $5, but that wouldn't have paid her rent. But you see, me and Leroy are believing people, and we have large liberality. When we finish, you should have seen the guy that wouldn't give us nothing. You should have seen that fool. We sent him to the projects. Send that fool to the project. Lord Jesus, he'll never get out of that. He don't know how. He don't know how to bless people. This lady had no... She didn't have to do that, this younger. She busts out there. I was praying. Oh, God, I'm going to pay my rent. I said, well, we'll pay your rent. Here's some more money. What else do you need? Leroy said, yeah, girl. Yeah, girl. Kathy and Carolyn going, yeah. Lord, geez. And I, Kathy and Carolyn would open up their purses. That girl would have been, she'd have been retired for the rest of her life. Lord Jesus. We never forgot that. That was so kind. Why? A believing person is a person of large liberalities. He can't keep, or she can't keep, anything to himself. But every time they keep sowing, they keep reaping. See, that's a believing person. For whosoever believeth on him. My God, my God. Number six, the last one. A believing man has large returns for his gifts. Don't get mad at me if I'm driving good. You know, Ron told me the other day, he said, moving on up to the east side to a deluxe apartment in the sky. I said, why not own the building? Yeah. There's always a higher place. You understand? Me and Kathy refuse to take no from someone who doesn't have the ability to say yes. You ought to write that down. I'm telling you, let me say it again. Me and Kathy refuse to take no from a person that doesn't have the ability to say yes. That day I wanted to do something. So I called, I'll just tell you where it was. It was at a certain restaurant here in New Orleans. And they won't sit you unless all your people are there. Well, I walked to this little lady, and the place was not busy. Empty tables everywhere. I understand that if the place full. Empty table. They said, is your whole party here? We said, no. I said, but they'll be here in a few minutes. Well, we can't sit you. I said, excuse me. I realized I'm talking to a person who doesn't have the power to say yes. So you think I'm going to take her no? I said, give me your manager. Oh, she looked at me like, I said, go. Would that make people mad when you do that? I ain't got time to talk to her. Hey, listen, yeah. Dealing on a high level here. Here come the manager. Yes, sir. I said, would it be all right if we could sit us, we could order some hors d'oeuvres and things of that nature because we have a party coming? He goes, see, he's got the power to say yes. He said, well, normally we don't do that. I said, I know that and I would not abuse that. He said, but the place is empty. Why not? I looked at that little girl and said, that's why you'll never be a manager, sweetheart, because you can't think for yourself. Never take no from an individual who doesn't have the power to say yes. That'll help you. Want to buy a car? You're talking to a salesman. You notice he gets up and go talk to his boss? Bring the boy in with you. Excuse me, get me somebody here that can say yes. Nothing. You're still going to get your money, but I want to talk to somebody that can say yay or nay. One time it was the head of American Express. I said, well, let me talk to the president. Well, he's the president of America. I said, well, I'm a president myself. There's going to be two presidents talking together here. Yes, sir. You just get high enough. They said, well, this one cocky idiot, I mean, he's in New York sitting up there, probably making six figures, probably making good money. Oh, we can't do that. I said, give me somebody higher. I said, you don't have the power to say yes, can you? I said, just give me somebody higher. Got someone higher. They said, what can we do for you? I said, I want this and this and that. Look at my record. Yes, sir, there is no problem whatsoever at all. I felt like I said, put that fool back on the plane. See, dawn never comes twice to awaken a man. The believing man has large returns for his gifts. So given, it shall be given unto you a good measure. Give, and it shall be given unto you a good measure. Give, and it, what part of that you don't understand? Give, and it shall be given unto you. To who? Okay, make it personal. Make it a professional. Give, if I give, it shall be given unto me. Good measure. Press down, shake it together. Do your thing, Jesus. Run it over. Oh, Lord, gee, why? Because I'm a man of large liberality, so I'm able to be a blessing. You see my point? That's what a believing person is. Let me go over it again. Number one, a believing man is a man of large compassion. Why? Because he has passion. He brings relief. Number two, the believing man is a man of large possessions. They are summed up in the fullness of him. If you don't have possessions, you can't be a blessing. Number three, a believing man is a man of large powers. He has power from God and power with God. Number four, a believing man has large opportunities. He has and makes miracles for others. One time at a very fast food chain, there was, you know, before Katrina hit, I'd walk in there, and if I ordered a two-piece, you might get a small leg and a wing, but not with Jesse. You get two breasts. You like white meat. They go, I had one guy said, come, you get something bigger. I said, what did you give? Nothing. I enjoy your wing. But how many times we'd say, come. You know, I don't know what to do with this $100. Do you know what to do with this? Yes. Have a nice day. In fact, give me the whole, everybody, all the employees. What? They go, I said, here. Do you know them? No. Don't need to know them. Here. You bragging? Yeah. Not on myself. On this God who has blessed me so I could be a blessing and help someone making minimum wage. They're making $5 an hour or whatever it was at that time. They couldn't believe it. One guy's hand was full of flour dough, you know, and stuff. He go, I said, son, when somebody put $100 in your hand, don't have no dough. He just grabbed mine. Don't worry about that. Dust. Yeah, man. Thank you, mister. I said, don't thank me. Thank the Lord. We had an opportunity to be a blessing. I said, do you do it every time? No, then that would be, see, if people are expecting it, now they're getting wrong. See, you can take something wonderful and mess yourself up. A believing man is a man of large liberalities. He can't keep anything to himself. Why? Because God is constantly moving things over. And then finally, a believing man has large returns for his gifts. So I do expect blessings. I'm believing God for an extra $1 million this month. What for? So Mr. Deloach can spend it. Build all that stuff. Do I want it for myself? Why not? I'll believe for $1 million for myself. Did that bother you? Well, you know, since I started believing God for $1 million, I was offered $1 million the other day to do one of my books. I'm thinking about it. Might go for $2 million, Kathy. Maybe, what do you think? Glory to God. She said, I'll get it all, buddy. Do your thing. That's okay. It don't make no difference to me. In fact, Kathy, right in front of, normally she don't like me to give her money in front of people. You know, she said, no, don't do that. But the other day, she looked in her wallet, and it was an abundance of lack in there. She looked down, she said, Jesse, I got $40. I felt like saying, well, shout, woman. I got $40, Jesse. I felt like, you know how many people would love to have $40? I said, oh, excuse me. She said, where's that stash of yours? I said, man got to do what a man got to do here. But normally she said, don't do it. She just took that stuff. Then she turned around and gave it away. Boy, I'm doing Katrina. Lord, gee, every time I saw Kathy, I tried to get away from her. Come here. You got any money on you? No, you lying. Let me see your pocket. Give me some money. And she just turned around and gave it away. I gave her $400. She gave it away in a matter of 30 seconds. Says, you got some more? I know you got some more. Where's that? Well, she was being a blessing. An opportunity had presented itself. Now, we know when we're being conned. You know what I'm trying to say? And that's wrong to do those things. But that's what a believing person is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What an opportunity, huh? That means me and you, Kenny, can go to heaven because he did that. That whosoever believeth in him, should not perish but have everlasting life. And Paul said, I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I commit to him. My Lord Jesus, that's a believing man. This guy's saying this in prison. They say, are you in jail? Most people would be depressed. You know what Paul says? I'm bound with a chain, but the word of God is not bound. Amen. I send it to whoever I want to. Though I'm bound with a chain, the word of God is not bound. That he wasn't denying his circumstance that he was going through. He just realized that he had a Holy Spirit dove that he could send messages out. Amen. And we're still getting those messages from the Apostle Paul. Every time we read Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy. It's amazing. Here goes the Holy Ghost bird, whoop, right out of the jail, and just drops you a message from the Lord. And even once in a while, the Lord will do something humorous. He'll even give you a Chinese cookie. If you can't believe the Bible, he'll give you a Chinese cookie. Believe that. Oh, that's for me. Well, finally, you accepted it. You couldn't accept it in the Bible, but you accepted it in the Chinese cookie. How many people know what I'm talking about? I mean, it's amazing. God got it there for 2,000 years. But if you get a Chinese cookie, whoo! Something good gonna happen to me. Old Robert been saying that for 50 years. That's amazing to me. You know? Isn't that something? But you can have it from the original. That's a believing person. That's why we do what we do. We're always gonna have somebody here gonna criticize us. But we don't bleed easy. That's okay. You know. We're still going to have an opportunity. One of my spiritual sons told me yesterday, oh, boy, you know what people are saying about what you did? I said, no, I tell you the truth, I had done forgot it. He said, well, the Lord hadn't, neither had I. That's really a daddy. I said, well, thank you. I appreciate you saying that. But it wasn't done for that. It was just done because there was an opportunity. As we have, therefore, opportunity. Let us do what? Good. Why would anybody fight that? Especially those who are of the household of faith. You know, let me say that. Maybe I shouldn't say that. Yeah, I'm gonna say it. You know, next time somebody tells you not to to read a Jesse Duplantis book, or a Jerry Savelle book, or a Kenneth Copeland book, or a Kenneth Hagin book, buy them the whole thing for Christmas. Because the devil's done convinced them not to accept an answer. And brother, it'll start there. And if your baby dies, they'll say God took it home. If somebody gets killed, it's their destiny. All kinds of stuff. Before you know it, you should never blame God for your inadequacy to receive what he said. This is what he said. I preach this Bible. And it isn't easy sometimes. I'd rather compromise sometimes. It would make it easier. Why wait on God if I can come to you? put the pressure on you to do something. Put the pressure on you to meet a need of something. But see, I don't preach with my hands out. I preach with my hands up. You see what I'm saying? Now, does God use people? He certainly does. And he will always. Why? Because that's the only way he can get stuff to us. So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should sow a seed. You know what the kingdom of God is? It's a method, not a place. So is the kingdom of God. And Jesus shows you what it is. If a man should cast a seed in the ground, it's a method. Now, the kingdom of heaven is a place. The kingdom of God is a method. It's dealing with sowing and reaping. I'll say this in close. So, so many people say, "Well, Jesse, you're such a giver. Why? Just so I can receive?" No, that's an automatic. I'm a believing man. I told a man yesterday, he says, "You've blessed me so much." I said, "Because I believe in you." That doesn't mean you're perfect. Please, for you that are watching all over the world, please don't judge Christianity by Christians. Please don't. You, some of you media people, you're judging Christianity by Christians. Every Christian I've ever met in my life is imperfect. Amen. You judge Christianity by Christ. Amen. Oh. So you're trying to make him imperfect by saying he married Mary Magdalene. Your Da Vinci code done went Da Vinci on you, buddy. You're trying to take away that deity of Christ. You know, you're going to be dead. You're going to die. And Jesus will still be here as Lord of heaven and earth. They've been trying that for thousands of years. You're going to die. Like trying to kill the Jews. Rome, it don't exist. Babylon don't exist. All these people want to destroy this little bitty nation. They don't exist no more. Iran, you better wake up and smell the roses or you ain't gonna be able to smell at all. You mess with those people. Amen. Because you're going to go by the wayside. See, if you notice, there ain't nobody writing anything against any other religious leader. Why? Muslim asked me one time, "Why do you accept Jesus over Muhammad?" I said, "He's the only one that got rid of the evidence." I had evidence. Kenny, I was going to jail. I was going to hell, man. Muhammad left it on the floor. Buddha didn't even get up out of his chair to come see it. I'm not being critical. They left it, but Jesus washed our sins away. Took rid of the evidence. That's a believing man. That's a believing man. See what I'm saying? That's why I accept Jesus. Now that's kind of sounds like you're going to die. You're going to keep trying to declassify Jesus to a human being. And let me help you. He was human. He called himself the Son of Man. But he also was God incarnate, the Son of God. I don't believe that. That don't change it. You know how many have died not believing that? They are now. Because there's no unbelievers after death. That's a spirit of Antichrist. When you hear that kind of stuff. See that Da Vinci Code thing? Good actress, great director, good Lord. He said, but that's the spirit of Antichrist. It's the spirit of, I'm not trying to give the movie a bad name. It's the spirit of Antichrist. Well, it's fiction. Well, if, come on, let the elevator go to the top. Most people don't even know what fiction is. You can say what you want. You can say what you want. All these people that will deny Christ, one day, he's going to come on that white horse. And he's going to say, "Oh, you'd like to meet Mary Magdalene? This is how she looks. Oh, would you like to see John? Now." And there's these big angels standing on the side. "Where you want them at, Jesus?" Now, you laugh at that, but that's going to happen, buddy. They standing there waiting for a command. Woo! Where you going to be? I'm going to be behind Jesus. I'm going to be saying, "I told you, but you wouldn't listen. You wouldn't listen." Stand to your feet. Did you enjoy it this morning? Give the Lord a hand clap for that. I know I say some things that may make people mad. I hope so. I like to get a reaction out of you. Whether you're glad or mad, at least you listened. Amen. I bet people say, you don't get mad if they get mad at you. No. At least they listen. Because they're going to go home and think about it. That's what I want you to do. Preaching should never supersede thought. It should make you think. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I know everybody about ready to leave. You know, I've got a pretty good crowd here for Memorial Day. I didn't see nobody coming into New Orleans. I saw them all leaving yesterday. You know what I want to ask them? Don't tell me you can't give if you can buy that gas. See, you can make a way for something. Now, ain't nothing wrong with going to the beach, so misunderstand me. I'm not concerned about it. But I'm saying that don't tell me you don't have. You do. But you never should make yourself more important than God Almighty in your life. Take the person's hand next to you. Father, I ask you to bless people today. As they go out and eat dinner and celebrate, let us not forget those wonderful men and women who are on the battlefields of the world today and those that have gone before us, that have fought for our freedoms. Well, Lord, there may be some here that need to be free. And Lord, the only way they can be free is if they accept you as Lord and Savior. They don't have to understand everything, but they do have to accept you. Now, Lord, I ask you to minister life to people today. Lord, if they'll believe with their heart and confess with their mouth that you rose from the dead, you would save them, Lord Jesus. I ask you to do that right now. I ask you, Lord, to minister to people that need spiritual, physical, and financial help. There's some people here are physically sick. They need healing. Some that are financially distraught. They need a miracle. Lord, I ask you to bless them. Satan, I get great pleasure in telling you to get under our feet that we bind you today. We speak healing. I speak hundredfold prosperity blessing. Now, Lord, those children that gave so much to your ministry, they wanted to present that check to me, that $1,279.37 check. Lord, that is equivalent to almost $1 million to a child. Bless them kids. Bless their parents. Lord, let the parents never let them forget what they did for your work when they presented that today. Lift your hands up as an act of faith and receive your miracle today. Thank you, Lord, for touching people, ministering to people today by the power of Jesus' name.